Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is still in the miracle working business. He is the Lord. He changes not, praise God. So what He speaks in His Word, it is timeless. It is unaffected by the affairs of men, whatever goes on. The reality is He is the Lord, and there is none beside Him. Well, beloved, it's a joy and a privilege to be able to be with you again as we begin a new message this week, and I've entitled it The Glory Restored. And it covers many things, I believe, that are very near and dear to the heart of God, as well as for those who deeply love Him. We want the presence of God. God's placed that in our hearts if we've received Jesus. And so before we begin, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank You for Your presence in our lives. Father, we thank You, Lord, as we go into the Word of God, as we see and discover Your heart and Your will regarding mankind, Father, that our ears shall be attuned to hear the truth of the Spirit of God speaking through the pages of Your Word, and Lord, that our tongue shall be a pen of a ready writer, that we will be able to speak and share God's will, God's heart for this time in which we are living. Father, let Your anointing, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke, and so, Father, we earnestly covet the presence of the Lord. Lord, not just for the understanding and appreciation and meditation of the Word that we'll be sharing this week, but Lord, in our own lives, Father, there are difficulties. We are in warfare, and You said that we will have trials and tribulations in this world, but to be of good cheer because You've overcome the world. And so, Father, we claim the presence of God, the anointing of God, the help and sustenance of the Spirit of God, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Give to every listener that which they need. Fulfill, Lord, their heart's desires, not just their needs. Father, give them the assurance, the faith to know that You are with them no matter what they're going through, and they shall see Your hand moving to work. Whatever they're experiencing now, it will be turned for good, that You may be praised and glorified. We thank You for it. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right, so we're going to talk about the glory restored. This is the Word of God's way of describing or depicting the presence of God among His people. And let's just start right at the beginning. What was God's will and heart? He had created the angels, right? He spoke the worlds into existence. But the Trinity had a conference one day back in eternity, and they said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." This was startling. The angels, as powerful, as glorious as they are, as spirit beings, they were designed and created to carry out the will of God. They were overwhelmed that God would do this special work. And so He created Adam out of the dust of the earth. He created Eve, taking a rib out of His side, and He made man in His own image, breathing the breath of life into him. And man, Adam, became a living soul, the scriptures say. So why did God do this? Well, He wanted children. He wanted a family. He wanted divine fellowship with that willing fellowship, willing obedience, for that from that which He had created. And that was why God created man in the beginning, because He always desired fellowship. That he had perfect fellowship. He wasn't needy. The Trinity was totally self-sufficient, self-sustaining. But because he is the very embodiment of love, if you will, everything that can possibly be talked about, described about love, that is our God. And love desires to share. And so he created man in his own image and likeness. And this was always God's plan for man, that he could be in fellowship with his family, with his sons, with his daughters. From the very beginning, that was his purpose in creating Adam and Eve, and it will go on through eternal ages. When there's a new heaven and a new earth, he looks forward perhaps even more than we do, as much as we look forward to being with Jesus and the perfect world, the perfection of the millennial kingdom, and then the new heaven and the new earth, which he will create at the end of that thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus on earth. It will be beyond our comprehension at this present time. But we know it'll be good, and it will be beautiful, and it will fill the deepest longings of our heart. So this is God's plan. This is history's broad perspective of man's destiny from the very beginning, from his creation in the garden, and through the millennial kingdom on into the ages of eternity. And he created Adam and Eve. It says in the Word, he would come down in the cool of the evening to talk with them. And they had perfect fellowship with God until something happened. And it wasn't a surprise to God. He created beings with a free will. Love that is forced, in other words, if they had no choice in the matter, it could not be true love, which is something that comes, it's associated with free will. When you love someone, it is because you choose to love them. This is the very nature of love. And so while he desired that, God did, he knew that sin would enter, and he already made a provision before the creation of the world that there would be one, the perfect Son of God, who even though there was disobedience, even though there was sin and the entrance of wickedness and heartache and sorrow and pain, which God never desired, but man made that choice. They chose to disobey God, not fully realizing the ramifications of that. But we have all learned through the ages that very painful and difficult lesson that in his presence is fullness of joy. There is no real presence outside of salvation in Jesus in this earthly realm, and the expectation of being conformed to his precious image. And so God desired perfect fellowship with man, but sin destroyed that. And their understanding was darkened. Their spirits died, if you will. They did not have, I mean, not their natural life. They lived for hundreds of years. The children of Adam and Eve and the patriarchs, I mean, they lived for extraordinary lengths of time, but they eventually died. They did experience death, only to escape death, and that's Elijah and Enoch. God took Elijah in a fiery chariot, and Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God, and God took him, and he was no more, simply because he just had to have him with him, praise God. So, but every man and woman, child, has gone the way of natural death, and those who know Jesus, the spirit man is never destroyed. We have that divine choice that's been given to us. We can choose an eternity with the God who created us in perfect, joyous fellowship with him, or we can refuse him. That breaks his heart, but if that is the choice, the free will choice of man, when they have heard the gospel, rejected it, then God has no alternative to let them have their choice, and that is the lake of fire, which has been reserved and created, not for man, but for the devil and his servants, those demon spirits and the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's where they're all going to spend their eternity, in the lake of fire. So this in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." In other words, that's why someone unsaved that hasn't been born again, in other words, their spirit's not alive, they cannot comprehend the things of God. They're basically foolishness. They read the word and there's contradiction. It doesn't make sense. It's a crutch for those who don't have the strength to stand on their own two feet and just, you know, push their way through the difficulties of life. No, that those are all lies. No. They simply cannot understand. When we are born again, our spirit man becomes alive. We become a new creature. And it is that spiritual man that begins to understand. We're a babe in Christ when we first are born again, but we can learn quickly. And God, through the Holy Spirit, is eager to teach us the truths of God, of His kingdom, of that which He desires for us, our good. He desires only good. He does not want to restrict us. He does not want to punish us. He wants to lead us in the ways of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. And that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some great man of God said that. I'm teasing. So the activity of the spirit of man was made alive through the new birth. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that man is body, soul, and spirit. We're a tripartite being. We can relate to the physical, our body, our soul deals with our will, emotions, our thoughts, and the spirit man is that which exists forever, either with God or away from God. Well, beloved, I've just been barely setting a foundation, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Hope you can be with me. If not, feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and our broadcasts are archived there for your listening convenience. I love you. I do invite you, if you have prayer needs, the announcer is going to give our contact information, our mailing address, or if you choose to email, I will confirm receipt and pray. But if you'd like a personal response through whatever God would give me to respond to you by mail, just include your mailing address. I love you, pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.